Okay, hello Ashmedi, welcome to Metal Shock Finland. How are you doing today?
I'm doing a rectangle with a slight tint of circular. I'm okay.
Yeah, so it's very busy day, yeah?
I've been doing a few interviews today.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing interviews for like the last couple of months, actually.
Okay.
There's a lot of positive feedback. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Okay, I don't want to waste your time, so let's go straight into Enki, your upcoming album, which will be released very soon, via Nuclear Blast. Okay, it didn't surprise me when I saw that Melekesh found a job for the god of earth and water, Enki. And when I checked the album, I found it was exactly in the band's traditional music style. So would you like to tell us more about this album?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest albums to make. Mm. And it's a very deep album filled with dualistic expressions. It's an album of duality, be it musical, be it metaphorical, lyrical. I think it's an accomplished album. But after getting out of the studio, I had no clue if it's good or bad. Because I was so, like, just exhausted.
Mm.
And, now we're getting the feedback that it's a popular album, which is a very good thing and a sign of, it's a relief for me.
It seems we have something in common, and that is an interest in Middle Eastern mythology, history, and archaeology. Enki and the story about him is very interesting indeed, mysterious and exciting. But would you tell me why you chose him and how? I'm sure you did some study research previously.
Yeah, I've known Enki since I was a kid. We used to hang out in the bar together.
Oh, yeah?
No, because I was reading mythology since I was pretty young, so I've known about him all this time, obviously.
Right.
There's so much information in mythology, you always got to, and in occult or whatever, you got to refresh your memory. So I had to refresh my memory, and let me explain something. Enki is also a metaphor, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very fascinated with the origins of mankind, how we developed, how we're made. Besides the Darwinistic theory, which is making full sense to me, I'm talking about the intellectual development,
yes.
Civilization development. So I like the theory of the Anunnaki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it has to do with that. It could be like a pragmatic thing that advanced people came and helped humans for whatever reason. Enki is the creator of mankind.
Yeah.
Was it just simply a work in the laboratory? DNA, genetic modification?
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Yeah.
These are the things I like to explore. Since he's the king of the gods, the god of the gods in Mesopotamian mythology, mm-hmm. I thought, it'll be a great honor to pay respect for such a deity, or to call the album in such a name, which is concise, short, and very true to the traditions of Melekesh.
Right.
So it's not per se just because he's the deity in mythology, but it's the metaphor or the Anunnakian concept, and also it has a lot to do with the duality of the album. That's why mm-hmm. the album's called Enki, but the album starts with a song called Enlil. Which is the brother of Enki, the king of the gods, and he's a less gentle with humans kind of person. Anytime he's angry, he wants to get a flood and kill everybody or something. So, I guess that was the reason, you know. I want to keep the Mesopotamian tradition, aside from our philosophical and spiritual development.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the lyrics, I'm sure it's hard for other people to find it. So would you like to talk about a little more about the lyrics?
Yes, of course. The lyrics could be metaphorical.
Yeah.
Very deep. Some of them personal. Some of them have messages to people.
Yeah, exactly.
I leave it to the person to explore it and make their own minds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of duality or reinterpretation of things like Metatron and man, which is also relating to the Anunnakian. There's a lot of hints or references to the Anunnaki all throughout the entire album.
Yeah.
But the way I see the Anunnaki is like just anything, you know, like also Metatron could be an Anunnaki, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Enlil, Tempest, Temper, Enlil Enraged is a fantastical story of an angry Enlil coming back to Earth pretty much to purify it and destroy humanity.
Right.
But it's also a metaphor of what's going on right now. Maybe they need a shock to wake people up because mm-hmm. everybody's hypnotized and they're like sleepwalkers.
Yeah.
Be it from work or from whatever situation imposed on them.
Yeah.
That's one thing. A song like The Palm, The Eye, and Lapis Lazuli, these are references of the Middle East.
Oh.
You know, the evil eye, the palm, the Hamsa, the, which is an ancient tradition to prevent the evil.
Oh.
And Lapis Lazuli, you know, the stone, which is very found in ancient Mesopotamia, Persia, everywhere.
Right.
It's actually a message I wrote to... Part of it is an occult tradition, and part of it is a message I wrote to... certain types of human beings.
Yeah, very interesting.
This is your warning, I say. Bite the hand, you know, like, you bite, yet you feed.
Right.
I go, bronze hand, you bite it, yet you feed. It's double meanings. The bronze hand of, like, maybe a super advanced creature, or it could be just you're biting the hand of this Mediterranean guy who helped you out in life.
Some people believe, and I do believe too, that history repeats itself.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. It's mm-hmm. about history repeating itself
exactly.
And how dumb we are that we don't learn. I mean, when I say heads buried in the sand, it's an expression like an ostrich. They bury the head in the sand not to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an English saying, you bury your head in the sand.
Perhaps, as you said, we are all still in a deep sleep. And
yes, of course we are in deep sleep. That's why we only use a small portion of our brain and we've done all this. What if
yes.
we use more portions of our brain? Imagine the cognitive power and the non-cognitive power also. You know, you can do amazing stuff with it, or maybe terrible stuff.
Yeah.
So... You know, heads buried in the sand, that means we put our heads in the sand like an ostrich and don't want to ask. But also there are physically heads buried in the sand in the Near East right now.
Yes.
So I don't want to get too much into it.
Mm. So you don't want me to ask you a question about what happened today?
No, not at all. Not at all. You can ask all you want. I'm just saying that I want to leave room for interpretation. Like,
right.
for example, people, they see our photos, we're covered our faces, and a couple of non-enlightened people thought it's pro-extremism.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that this is simply the traditional clothing of ancient times.
Yeah.
And the song is against ISIS.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to exactly ask you. I mean, that was a very terrible news. About that Jordanian pilot, they burnt him in a cage. So,
it's fucked up, man. There are fucked up people out there.
Yeah, so, would like to hear your comment about this.
Let me say something. First of all, my first statement is Malakesh transcends politics. It's like, I'm not playing.
Right.
I'm not playing the game. But this is not about politics. This is about common sense.
Yes.
They're obviously doing this, I don't think out of joy, maybe out of strategy, to make fear or to make political statements.
I think so. This kind of putting fear in the heart of other people to make...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I don't think they wake up in the morning like, oh wow, it'll be so cool to burn someone. If they are, then they're the most savage things ever, you know? I'd rather live among lions, I'll feel more safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, this is weird shit going on. That's what I'm trying to say. There's weird stuff going on. And what I also know in politics, nothing is straightforward. You never know who plans what. You never know who's behind what. I don't know. It's. I think every intelligent person would think that way.
Right. Okay, I would like to... Let's go forward, and I would like to ask you something else. I'm from Iran, and I have many Western friends, and many of them know nothing about Middle Eastern myths, and some of them simply don't care. So can you tell me if you have had this experience with your fans, or fans asking you about the whole of your music content? What would your answer be for them?
Well, you know, I, if you don't know, then you don't know. What can I say? You come from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
But please do not pretend to be the place where it's very open-minded and knowledgeable and educated. Because where I come from, we were taught about everything from everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that when I went to Holland, for example, there were situations where people are asking me the most clueless, dumb questions. I'm like, what do they teach you in school, for heaven's sake? Do you have ketchup in Jerusalem? Once I was in the States in school, in junior high school, and I was skating, you know, with a skateboard. I like listen to thrash metal, I like skateboard.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're not from Jerusalem, you're lying, you're from another part of the States. I'm like, who? Why? They're like, because you speak English and you can skate. You cannot skate in Jerusalem, it's all desert. See? I'm like, no, it looks pretty much the same as California. Actually, it does. You know what I mean? So they're just like a little bit intelligence insult. In the old days, not now, before all the internet stuff, we got an interview from a... Look, it wasn't a real big magazine because those guys hire, you know, more knowledgeable people. I'd like to think so. But this was a small... magazine in the States. They're like, how could you get instruments to make your band? So I basically played along. I'm like, oh, we went through the desert on camels for 3 days and on horse for 2 days, and there was a merchant in the Sinai desert who sells rugs, who smuggles from the West some guitars. Under the rugs he had some guitars, and he believed it, the journalist. Like, wow. I just facepalmed. I'm like, oh my god. And they printed that fucking story. I'm like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I had that experience.
Yeah, but as for like spirituality and stuff, you know, you don't have to know about it because there's a lot of this other things to know about in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for example, what I'm surprised about, what they don't know about Iran is weird. Many would like to judge it as the worst place because of politics, but it's not.
Yeah.
For example, this is off the record. They say Saudi Arabia, it's another country. It's ally of America, but Iran isn't, so they must be worse. But they don't tell you that in Iran they have religious freedom.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might mistake the character of the Iranian as being a warmonger, which is not true. I think the best parties I have in life is with Iranians because they're life lovers.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah.
Seeing some of the oppressions and the history, they enjoy life. When we played in Armenia, half the fans came from Iran.
Oh, yeah. One of them was me.
Well, I went to the after party because I wanted to be with Iranians.
Exactly. I wanted to ask a question about that party. Good that you still remember it. Okay, let's not forget what you are talking about. Let's talk about the cover artwork, as it is very, very interesting to me. John did a great job, but seems he doesn't know much about Sumerian myths either. As I can see, lots of symbols and icons from the are they from Assyrians and Persia and in the Achaemenid Empire era.
Yes,
I tried so hard, but I couldn't see any himself on it.
No, or maybe it's funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's intentional.
Right. I thought so it must be purposefully, right?
No, it's on purpose. I want it to be inclusive of the rich heritage of the area.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Not over, like, we're all the same, man. Just because these guys stood on the right leg and these guys on the left leg, these guys put more red pepper on their rice, doesn't mean they're different. It's the same people. Different periods, different kingdoms. I want to include the entire Near East.
Yes.
At the cover. It's chaos and order. That was the cover. Chaos and Order.
Right.
Putting random collage of atmospheres of the great, some things from Mesopotamia, some things from Persia. Actually, we even had Ahura Mazda, but in the last moment we put Ashur.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. So, no, seriously speaking, I wanted to have something inclusive and not decisive, something to unite and not divide.
Right.
That's my message.
Right.
It's a great region with many kingdoms and empires and tribes, and I want to include it all in one image.
Right.
I want
Very
the
wise.
Chaos theory, the cosmic chaos theory to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's intentional. That the warriors holding spears are actually from the Persians. The double-headed bull on the pillar is Persian, and we use it on the previous album. It's a continuation. The lions with the two horns, they're Assyrian or Babylonian. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
The palm
Assyrian, I think.
Is, the palm is traditionally Sumerian.
Yes.
So,
But where is Enki? He gave you his name, but you didn't use his picture
no.
in your artwork.
There is no picture of Enki. There's drawings, or it could be Enki. Enki's everywhere.
Right.
He's the
I saw some picture of him, you know, on the stones. He's sitting on on his
we
throne.
Put him there. He's old. He's that's pure mythology. What I wanted is to have Enki as the god of the gods.
Yeah.
And this is a chaos collage of the Middle East. It's not of the Near East Middle East. It's not a picture of Enki. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It doesn't have to be per se like, oh, the album is Enki, put him on the cover. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But on the album, we do say Enki in cuneiform, Lord Enki. But we, on the last moment, we decided not to have it on the front cover, but on the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is in cuneiform,
yes.
in
you gave him the best Kate
in cuneiform saying Bel Enki. That means Lord Enki.
Right.
That's
right. Okay, now let's talk about the band. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Melekesh uses some mysterious Middle Eastern myths to talk about some serious timeless subjects.
Yes.
And mystery is something that most people are curious about. So it's like a very tasty, spicy meal, which can feed minds. So what are your thoughts about this after all these years that you've been active as a band?
I call it substance.
Right.
That Melekesh still keeps art and sophistication and credibility and substance in the music we do. It's not just blurting out words. You know, like some people say, like some, the average Joe might say, oh man, the cover. I'm like, what do you want? A muscular guy with a bull's head carrying a sword? I don't want to put that. With all due respect, there's another 1,000 covers like that.
Right. Yeah.
So this is who we are. And it's a full package. It has to mean something. Otherwise, I can't do it. It's not like, oh yeah, do it for the fans, mention like three dragons and, you know, mention like the Sumerian deity, they'll like it. It's not like that, man.
Yeah, it's not only about mythologies. There are more words.
It's cultural, it's spiritual, it's philosophical, it's mystical.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But it's inclusive, not exclusive. It's like I include all the aspects of the Near East, which was the cradle of civilizations that spread out to Europe and then to the world. We come from a really interesting area, you know, on many levels. So I like to display that. I mean, don't forget, when you tell Middle East or Near East to people, what do they think? War and politics. Because of what's happening. But there's more to it. There's also art and culture and philosophy and spiritualism.
Yeah.
And good music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we try to always show, and it's our responsibility to show that.
Right, very well then. Okay, as you mentioned before, we met at your performance at the Metal Prod Festival in Armenia, and then at the party afterward. It was a few years ago. But the band line, Bound Line Up was totally different back then, and there have been more changes since. So can you tell me what it is that make you think that you need to change the lineup?
Well, there's several things. First of all, Malakesh is, I write the music.
Right.
And as you can hear, I don't claim, as you can hear, it always sounds like Malakesh, be it drums or guitars. I don't like, per se, changing lineups, but you know what? Sometimes change is good. People might think it's not. If there's a divorce in a family, I think it's okay if the marriage is not working out. But what I don't like is the whole Hollywood culture. Oh, we got an argument. Then they bring the buzzword divorce. Because, you understand me, because they saw it in a film. No, but if it's not working out, then change. You might both be happier. With Malakesh, I need to keep things tight. I need to keep people, I need to keep the music at top priority and the performance. If I feel people are not doing what they're supposed to do, the mission in Malakesh is to make the music, then they shouldn't be in it. Sometimes people also, it gets to their heads. You know, they give autographs, fans are coming to them, it might get to their head.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I hate that. I despise that. I loathe that. Because every day could be your last day. I mean, if you found the cure for cancer and you act a little bit arrogant, fine. It's coming to you. You did so much good. It's okay. But if you're playing in a band, I mean, come on, man. Get real.
Mm-hmm.
Have self-respect, but don't be arrogant. Hard work. Many times, you know, also like, you know, you need people who are enlightened and stuff. It's hard to find, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, people like Moloch, he can't tour because he has his own life choices. He's teaching in universities and philosophy and stuff like that. So it depends on who. For me, is if I felt if we keep the same lineup, the band will die.
When I
saw certain behavioral patterns.
Right, very interesting. Okay.
So it's all for making the music, nothing more, nothing less. I have some ex-members who are some of my dearest friends, like Al Hazred. He played on 3 albums.
Right.
After he was out of the band, the pressure was out, and we could finally be good friends. This was many years ago. His last album was Emissaries. I was today 1.5 hours on Skype with him catching up. His kids love me. When I was living in Holland, we all get in the car. His kids want to be in the car with me. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Listen to music. And, you know, his wife would always like, I'll call Ashmedai, let him come over for dinner. I eat at their house 2-3 times a week when I live there. And so you understand me. So it's all strictly about the band, and I don't like to have destructive characters because destruction is easy, but creation is hard.
Okay, would you like to talk about your plans for the near future and for?
Near future is going to be touring.
Yeah.
We are booked, we have some headlining tour and festivals and stuff coming up. Far, I don't know. Well, you know, you finish an album, the only thing you think about is like, it's finished, finally.
When would you think would be the next album? Do you have any idea about
it? I don't want to think about it.
Ah.
I really don't want to think about it. The new album is just out. It's not even out, man. What you're asking me? The new album is not out yet. What about the next album? I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. This is a fan question. Are the band planning a full UK tour? Not just London, as she mentioned that not all people in UK living in London. She was insist for sure in Sheffield.
Dude, I'm with you, man. I love it. When we came with Nile in 2011, we pretty much did a UK tour. And we're doing a headline tour. I still don't know the routing. If we only come to London, then I'm going to tell my booking agent to make sure that we have a full-on...
Mm-hmm.
Wait, 1 second. Yeah. Full-on UK tour because, you know, we got lots of fans there. And we only did one tour where we played several British cities, UK cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we even did Scotland.
Maybe you should.
I definitely should, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things about Marrakesh is that you're awesome on the stage. It's very, flames, you can feel it. So, I do understand those people in UK who like to see you. So, please ask your booking agent to contact me. I think I have someone who can help him.
Yeah, well,
especially for Sheffield.
No problem. I mean, like, because I do want to do especially a UK tour.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even like you said, you know, okay, come to London, that's great, but we should do more. It's a big place, you know.
Feel free to leave a message as your final word.
Well, just I want to say thanks for the interest in our music and our, you know, mission or journey. And we hope to see people on the road, and I sincerely hope that people will understand our music and new album.
Yeah, I believe you have some Finnish words for our Finnish listeners.
Mitakulu paskiane.
Ah, great.
It's like, how are you, asshole? it's just I when I grew up as a kid, I had some Finnish friends. We used to skateboard together,
right.
And I learned those words. So, yeah.
Very good. Thank you for giving me your time.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. You take care. Yeah.